Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And my message this morning, the mechanics of prayer that we began to deal with last week, the mechanics of prayer, part 2. I believe it's so important. Don't think this is a small addition. What I said last week and this week is vital to your prayer life. If you're not getting answers to prayer, there's reasons. And if you're satisfied to pray and to pray again and not get answers, you're very stupid. You're very ignorant and you don't know this Bible. This Bible has been given to us to help us receive answered prayer. And as a preacher of the Word of God, I want to help you. I don't want you praying and not getting answers. That creates frustration. That creates discouragement. But I actually want to help you so that when you pray, you know God is hearing you and you get answers in your life. I want us as a church not only to be a praying church, but a church that knows a God who answers prayer. Since this is vital, this morning, reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you inspire in every single heart, stir up our spirit within us like you have in days of old when you stirred men and women to pray, Lord God, to seek you for healing, for revival, for restoration in your church, for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for that gift of faith. I pray, O God, that you'd make us strong in the promises of God's word, that your word would stir us, O God. God, that by faith, O God, that faith would stir up as the word of God enters into our heart. Nor, God, you said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father, we want answered prayer. Nor, God, speak to us individually. Search our hearts. Lord God, specifically deal with us as men and women, young and old in this church, that we might see answers to prayer, even in these days and these weeks that lie ahead. Be glorified this morning through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message, the mechanics of prayer, part 2. Last week we began to deal with the mechanics of prayer. And as I dealt with that, I explained what I mean by mechanics. Most of you'll have realized last week, but until then you won't have realized that the word mechanics is the science of the study of moving parts or moving objects. I believe there's nothing that moves like prayer. There's nothing as powerful as prayer. There's nothing as challenged or has as many pressures against it as this thing called prayer. And there's nothing that can affect our environment like prayer. What is mechanics? Mechanics is the study of this thing called prayer. That's what mechanics mean. And we're giving it a spiritual meaning this morning. You may not have realized it, some of you, but you've just driven into a spiritual garage. You are in the garage of the Lord. I'm a mechanic. The Lord is a mechanic. The Word of God is a mechanic's handbook. And we're going to look at the reason why God answers prayer. Is He answering your prayer? What can hinder prayer? How do you make prayer work in your life? Since I want you to have faith that prayer is to be answered. Why pray unless God answers? How could you possibly be satisfied in asking God for things and yet never to be able to say that God has answered your prayers? Let me give you an example from 1 Peter chapter 3 and 7. It says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them. That is your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here's a specific scripture that says you can be praying, you can be asking, you can be seeking the Lord, you could be fasting, you could be doing all of that, and yet your prayers are hindered. The word hindered there means frustrated. Your prayers are cut down. Your prayers have become useless. Your prayers are going nowhere. Your prayers are bouncing off the roof. If you want your prayers to be stopped, hindered, to go unanswered, just don't treat your wife right. I'm not talking about beating her up. I'm just talking about what this scripture says. This scripture is given by an apostle. If you do not dwell with your wife according to knowledge, if you don't give her honor, if you don't treat her as the weaker vessel, do you realize that isn't abuse, that isn't drunkenness, that isn't hitting with the fist, and yet you could hinder your prayers? What I'm telling you is that there are certain things that can hinder your prayers. You could be doing all the prayer and go, why isn't God answering my prayer? I'll tell you why he's not answering your prayer. Last week we dealt with four things. Let me remind you, prayer and the Word of God. If you separate prayer from the Word of God, your prayers will go unanswered. Or second of all, prayer and faith. If you don't have faith when you pray, your prayers will go unanswered. Third of all, prayer and obedience. If you don't obey God, yet you're praying, God will shut his ears to your prayer. Or fourth of all, prayer in the will of God. When you're not seeking God's will, only your own will, do you know what God says? No way, Jose. You can ask all you want. You can beg. You can accuse God. Why isn't God answering my prayers? There are reasons. If you sit here this morning and you say, I'm praying, I've prayed for a long time, and God isn't answering my prayers, if I was you, I'd get on my knees this morning and say, oh God, why are you not answering my prayers? This is the mechanics of prayer. Or why prayer works and why prayer doesn't. Why God answers and why he doesn't answer. This entire book gives you many things. I'm only dealing with eight. Four last week and four here this morning. Since I said last week to you about a man, George Mueller, who in his lifetime had 50,000 recorded specific answers to prayer. On the day he prayed, he wrote the date, the prayer, and he said, Lord, I'm believing you for an answer. By the end of his life, he had 50,000 recorded exact prayers, and these weren't fake prayers. Lord, heal my headache. Lord, guide me. These were very specific prayers needing real interventions of God. By halfway through his life, he actually recorded 5,000 prayers that were answered the same day. In the morning, he prayed, Lord, I need £100. Lord, I need food for the table. Why was he praying earnestly? He had about 2,000 orphan children. He was responsible for their clothes, for their food, for looking after them, for the fire, the coal in the fireplace. 2,000 children. He never made known his needs to anyone. He never sent out a letter. He never begged anyone. He never tried to manipulate people and say, you've got to give to me or you ought to be financially supporting me. Since when men beg, they don't have faith. I assure you the prosperity movement in America, all those big American ministries, they don't have faith. Whenever you walk into a church and they spend 30 minutes on a Sunday morning begging for your money, that church does not have faith. Neither does that preacher. Neither do those believers. If I have to beg you for your money, keep it and be done with it. That's all I have to say. I believe God. If you want to give, you'll give. If you don't, you certainly will keep it. You'll die with your covetous spirit. It'll burn a hole in your pocket. You'll never have enough. But saints, all I'm saying is men of faith believe God. And George Mueller was such a man. You know what? He never sent a begging letter out. But he went into his bedroom alone, got on his knees, said, God, only you know this need. And we need an emergency by the morning. It always came. He was able to say in some 57 plus years of ministry, I think it was an awful lot more than that, maybe 70 odd. He said, never once has God not come through when we followed his word in prayer. Here this morning, let me give you four more things in this mechanics of prayer. First of all, prayer and sincerity. Prayer and sincerity. If you want your prayers to work, listen to what I'm going to say here. Prayer and sincerity. If you have sincerity, it can make God answer your prayer. If you don't have sincerity, it can make God shut his ears and say, I won't answer your prayer. There is something about mixing sincerity with prayer, or prayer coming out of the heart of a sincere person, that makes God listen to them. Listen to what it says in Psalm 145 verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them who call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. Notice what it says here. The Lord is very near. He is joined to in a special relationship. He is in a very close bond where he dwells with you. With who? With all those who call upon the name of the Lord. There's something about a praying man that draws the attention of God. Show me a praying man and I'll show you a man who knows God. Show me someone who neglects prayer. Then God is far from you. You'll never have the sense of his presence. You'll always feel God's a million miles away. Why? You're neglecting to call upon the Lord. If you don't seek him in prayer, you're going to have an absence of the presence of God. When you begin to pray, saints, it's open for all of you. Draw near unto him. He'll draw near unto you. Call unto him and he'll answer you. Knock on the door. He opens the door. All through our Bibles is a promise that God wants to be very near unto you. But notice this statement is qualified. There's people all over this city who say, I pray, but they don't know God. Do you know what it says here? To all that call upon him in truth. That term truth means to be reliable, faithful, or trustworthy. Those who pray in truth. Those whose prayer or truth are real. They're faithful, they're reliable, they're trustworthy. What's the opposite of that? God will not answer the prayers of an unreliable person who's unfaithful and they're untrustworthy. Or he will not answer prayers that are lies. When your life contradicts your prayers, God says, no, I'm not going to answer your prayer. You can scream, you can shout, you can fast, I'm not going to answer your prayer. If you're not sincere in heart, if you're not seeking to have a pure heart and to be genuine and real, I will not answer your prayer. You can't get anything more definite or real. If you're sincere, I'll hear you and answer your prayer. I'm going to be very close unto you. I don't care whether you're very spiritual or you're struggling. If you're of a sincere heart, when you get on your knees before God, you're sincere, you're genuine. The prayers of your mouth come out of a sincere and a deep heart before God. Do you know what God says? I'll answer you. See, Christians don't tell lies. They don't. A real Christian doesn't tell lies. But there's many people called Christians who sing lies. No, let me go further. They pray lies. What they are when you hear them in a public prayer meeting or praying in a pulpit, their entire life could prove that it's a lie. It's an absolute hypocrisy. They're not calling on the Lord in truth. They're not praying in truth. In fact, it's unreal. It's not true. It's false. It's hypocrisy. And God hates hypocrisy. He doesn't want a show. He doesn't want a game. He doesn't want a ritual. He wants you to pray in truth or to call upon him out of a sincere heart. Lord God, I'm genuine. As I said Friday night, God doesn't answer prayer. God doesn't hear prayers. You know what he does? He answers the person. You see, God's more interested in who you are than what you pray with your lips. Oh, it's important what you pray with your lips, but he's not answering mere words. You could be eloquent and powerful. You could impress all of us. We could ooh and ah over your prayer. We could talk about it for the next year. But you know what? Does God notice your prayer? Is it a sincere prayer? Have you gone to the depths of your heart and go, oh God, I want to be real before you. What you are on your knees in private before God, that's all you are. You're nothing more. Someone once said, there's three of you. Hear me, you're like the Trinity. There's three of you. There's the person other people think you are. And there's the person you think you are. But there's the person who God sees you really are. There's three of you. Which one are you this morning? You see, God answers real heartfelt prayer, sincere prayer. David writes in Psalm 17 and 1, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth out not out of feigned lips. Do you know what he's saying? God, answer my prayer, because my lips aren't lying. My lips aren't deceiving. My lips are honest. I'm being true. What I pray is real and genuine. And oh God, only you know that. It doesn't matter what others think. You know that what I'm praying isn't coming out of lying lips. If your lips lie and contradict your heart, and God sees that, then do you know what your prayer life and your prayers in the house of God are? They become an abomination. They become something that God shuts his ears to. I can't bear to hear those prayers. Those are lies. Prayers, they will not be heard on high. Saints, I'm telling you how to open heaven and how to shut heaven. In the New Testament, Jesus hated hypocrisy more than any other thing. It wasn't struggling with sin he hated. It wasn't sinners he hated. It wasn't homosexuals he hated. Do you know what he hated? Religious hypocrisy. That's what he hated more than anything. In Matthew 6 and 5, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. A hypocrite is something. And hypocrites do pray. And they do pray to God. And they're faithful in prayer. And yet Jesus says, hypocrites, do not be like them when they pray. And when you pray, don't be like them. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Do you know what a corner of a street is? You get two streets. You get two flows. So when you stand on the corner of the street, you're not just getting one group of people. You're getting the union of two streets. And we're told the hypocrites love to stand in church praying. And they love to stand at the corner of a street and pray that they may be seen of men. Why do they do it? Their entire motive, their entire desire is to be heard of men, to be acknowledged by men, to be thanked by men. Their focus is on God. They're not praying unto God. Their focus is man. You see, the word hypocrite means an actor on the stage, a performer. Someone who wears a mask that isn't really them. They're not a man or woman of prayer. They don't pray unto God. And yet, they play out the part of a man or woman of prayer. Hypocrites don't pray in secret, I'll tell you now. They don't pray. They cannot pray. They have no desire to pray. They don't make time to pray. But they will pray in the house of God. Who is God going to listen to? You know as well as me. There was a man who came into this church. He stayed around for 3 months, prayed the house down. Half of you were impressed with him. You googled and went, man, what prayers? And the guy tried to tear the place apart. He had a motive in coming. He had ambitions. He could care less about you. He used to boast on his own ministry. Do you know what? He was here for one reason, to get in the pulpit. God help him. God never listened to those prayers. They were eloquent. They were biblical. They were inspired. They were powerful. They were impressive. They were loud. They were long. They were detailed. But they were unheard. Since if God listens to a man like that, God help us, it's all over with. But my Bible says that God shuts his ears. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense or an outward show, you make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. I'm not against long prayers. I'm not against powerful prayers, or detailed prayers, or biblical prayers. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, when you pray, call on the Lord. Be sincere. Be genuine. When you seek the Lord, seek him with all of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Can I encourage you that you can open heaven by being sincere? You don't need to be long or eloquent or detailed. You don't need to feel anointed. All you need to do is rend your heart and humble yourself and come sincerely to the Lord and say, Lord, will you help me? Yes, I will. Yes, I'm very near unto those who call unto me in truth. That's the first point. Since you're in the garage this morning and we're looking at your prayer life and we've got the tools of the trade out, which is my Bible above all else, and we're looking at your prayer life, it's not to condemn you, it's not to restrain you, it's not to leave you feeling bad. Do you know what I'm doing this morning? Let's get in and get all the gunk out. You say, what's gunk? Never you mind. I use a bit of imagination. Get all the gunk out, the rubbish, the trash, and let's get down to prayer. I need an answer from God. I'm showing you how to get an answer from God to open his ears and make him listen to you. Just be sincere, not super spiritual, not to have the faith of Smith Wigglesworth. All you need to do is be sincere. Secondly, prayer and your heart's desire. Your heart's desire. Prayer joined together with your heart's desire. It says in Psalm 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Who here this morning wants God to give them the desires of their heart? Who is sitting here with longings and desires before God? And you go, oh, that God would answer it right now, before the preacher finishes. Oh, that God would say, send the word, answer that prayer, give that desire. Would send some angel from an eye to say, make sure you get to that man before he gets out of the building today. You see, in this scripture again by David, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, the prayers of thy heart, the longings of thy heart, the deep desires of thy heart. But notice there's a condition here. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Everybody wants God to answer their desires. Everybody wants answered prayer. But look at the condition. If you want God to answer the desires of your heart, what do you have to do? Delight yourself in the Lord. If you in this place want God to open his ears to you and to answer your prayers, I'm giving you the answer how to get God to answer your prayers. And you know, I mean that respectfully. You see, the Bible says, come reason, come argue with me, come and talk with me, because I want to answer you. He says it time and time again. And God does want to answer your desires, but you have to delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? The word delight there means to be soft or pliable, or to bend to God's will. You see, if you're pliable to God, whatever he tells me, I'll do it. I'll answer your desires. Are you sitting here this morning and you say, if I see it in the word of God, I'll do it, even to my own hurt? God will give you the desires of your own heart. Even when your flesh rises up against it, even when it's a battle, I promise you, delight yourself also in the Lord. Be pliable, be soft, be someone who can be molded by God. And he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, those things deep in your heart. Oh, they're so deep you can hardly put them in your lips. You know what? I'm going to give them to you. David again writing in Psalm 21 and verse 2. He says, thou hast given him his heart's desire. He's talking about answered prayer. Thou hast given me my heart's desire, and you have not withholden the request of my lips. Is that your testimony here this morning? If I ask you this morning, can you stand here and say, God has answered the desire of my heart. He's given me the desire of my heart. He's answered the request. I can give you testimony. I wish I could begin to ask you right now. Stand one by one and begin testifying. If you can't do that, why not? You see, there's a testimony here that David is saying, you have given me the desires of my heart. How? By giving the answer to my prayer request. It says in Isaiah 56 and verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, the place of prayer spiritually, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Look, saints, what Isaiah is saying. If I want to bring you to a place into the house of prayer, my mountain of prayer. And you know what? In the house of prayer, I want to make you joyful. How do you get joyful? How do you get glad? How do you begin to gleam in the house of prayer? Why would you in the house of prayer begin to get so glad that you're rejoicing? You know why? God has answered your prayer. You see, if God doesn't answer your prayer, you won't be happy in the house of God. You'll be in the house of prayer going, it's a drudgery, it's a burden, it's a trial, it's a task, it's a monotony. But you know what? God himself wants to bring you to the house of prayer and make you joyful or glad in the house of prayer. Saints, that's when he answers your prayer and you go, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a testimony. It says in Psalm 43, then will I go unto the altar of God. What's the altar? It's the altar of prayer. It's the golden altar of incense, the place of prayer. The psalmist says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God who is my exceeding joy. Have you found the joy of prayer this morning? Can I ask you, are his burden not a joy to you? Have you ever experienced the joy, the blessing of just going into the presence of God to sit in a prayer meeting this morning or on a Friday night or at home where you get alone with God and say, this is a joy to me. I'm so glad to be in the house of God. You see, if you get to the altar of God, you will find the God who answers prayer becomes your exceeding joy. Your exceeding joy means you can't contain it. It overflows you. It's beyond you. You can't even hold it in your little cup. And Job in chapter 27 and 10, speaking about hypocrites, this is what he says, and talking about prayer, he says that a hypocrite does not delight himself in the Almighty. You see, if you show me a hypocrite, they can't have joy in prayer because God doesn't answer their prayer. It's aimed at man. It's for man. It's for this earth. There's no joy in it. There's no spiritual blessing in it. I'm connecting prayer and your heart's desire. Since you can have your heart's desire answered, God wants to answer your heart's desire. He wants to make you joyful in the house of God. He wants to make you glad. But there is a warning with this heart's desire. I've met lots of people in the church who thought that prayer is about them getting their way on the earth. Listen to this. James chapter 4 verse 2. Ye lust. Let me say that again. Ye lust. The word lust doesn't just mean sexual lust, though it includes that. The word lust actually means a strong human natural passion or desire. You've all experienced it, men and women, young and old. You're not too old for this, and you're not too young for this. You see, if you're born of Adam's seed, then ye can lust. In the flesh, you can lust. It means you have strong emotion, passions, burdens. In fact, they almost drive you. You feel a force with it or a power with it. There is such a feeling with it. It affects your thoughts, your actions, your words, your attitude. Listen to what James says. Ye lust and have not. That desire can be desire. I desire this. I desire this. I desire her. Or I desire him. Or I desire to be married. Or I desire these things. Or I desire that job. Or I desire to be noticed. And you could be in the church saying, I have strong urges and feelings, and they're very spiritual, or maybe they're not so spiritual, but they're strong desires. And yet he says, but you have not. You've got these strong desires, but you don't have it. You can't have it. You don't get it. Here you are in God's house, and you have strong desires. He goes further. Ye kill, and you desire to have. Notice that the word killing here, it doesn't mean murder. I don't believe he means literal murder, taking someone's life. He's talking about prayer. He says, you kill and you cannot obtain. So it's someone who has anger, bitterness, jealousy, murder, hatred of others in their heart, and you cannot obtain. No wonder you can't obtain. You've got all of these things of the flesh. You're angry, you're burning, you're fuming. You could kill someone. You'd never do it. You never will do it in your entire life. But in your heart, you get so angry, you can see yourself punching them in the face. No wonder you don't have answered prayer. You've got all of that in your heart. You've got all of these desires. And then you go, Lord, will you, I'm a little angel, will you answer my prayer upon the earth? Will my voice be heard? I speak so sweetly, so softly, so beautiful. And God's saying, you've got murder in your heart. You've got passions in your heart. You've got things in your heart. You won't get it. I won't answer your prayer. Look at all of that stinking stuff in your heart. I'm talking about prayer and your heart's desire. You see, if your heart's desire is wrong, God won't answer that. If your heart's right, you will. God will answer it. There's no doubt. He goes further. Ye fight and ye war, and ye have not, because ye ask not. Here's another reason. You're so caught up in fighting. You're fighting the devil. You're fighting others. You're fighting situations in your life. But you know what? You're not praying about it. You're not asking. You're going, why doesn't God intervene in my family? Why doesn't he intervene in my marriage? Because you're fighting. You hear me? You do more speaking to others than you do to God. You're getting on the phone to Keith Malcolmson, and none of you are. And you're saying, why doesn't God do this? I think, how much do you speak to God and how much do you speak to others? You see, you're fighting. You're fighting this. You're fighting that. You're trying to get one up. You want to win an argument. And you know what? You don't have answered prayer. I'm telling you how to get your prayers answered. You better get rid of that. You better repent of that. You better throw that fighting out, or your prayers are going unanswered. You'll have no answered prayer. You can cry, you can scream. God say, no, no. It goes further. Do you like James 4? Ye ask, ye pray, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss. Oh, so now you are praying. First you weren't praying, now you are praying. You're too distracted with fighting. Now you're praying, Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, will you answer me? And he says, you receive not. Why? You ask amiss. You ask badly. You're not asking correctly. It says that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Do you know what's motivating some of your prayers is lust? Not godly desire. Remember what I said godly desire was? It's that pliable. What desire does God answer? Every desire does God answer? Every feeling, every longing? No. He answers that desire that's pliable, that's moldable to God, that bends to God's will. That man, I'll give him his desire. But look over here. Here's a Christian, and it's his lusts. His prayers are coming out of his lusts, out of his desires and his ambition. And I want... Do you know what the Bible actually says? You're not getting answered. Since I'm trying to help you, what sort of desire do you pray out of? Your lustful, fleshly desires that burn within you? Or are you asking out of this attitude that says, God, I'll do whatsoever you tell me. Where you tell me to go, I'll bend to you. I'm listening to you. That's why God will listen to you. Because you listen to him. You see, this person is motivated by selfishness. You're very quiet this morning. You're very quiet. Man, I'm not telling you not to be. These are things you ought to be quiet about. Motivated by selfishness, flesh, nothing spiritual, and he gets nowhere. In Psalm 78, verse 18, it says, listen to this, Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, and this is the beginning. Listen to what it says. And they tempted God in their heart. This is God's people. Oh, they pray, they worship, they sing, they preach, they talk about the Lord, they testify. This is God's people. And they tempted God in their heart. Notice, not with their lips, in their heart. By asking meat for their lust. Do you know when they asked for birds? They said, we're going to starve in this wilderness. And they started to accuse God. God, we want you to. They started to tempt God and to try and get him attacked outside his character. Do you know where the prayer for the birds, for the meat came from? Out of their lusts. They begin to lust and say, we want meat. You know what? I'm tired of the bread. I'm tired of that thing called manna. You know, there's people sitting in churches go, I'm tired of the preaching. I'm tired of the worship. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of coming to meetings. Be very careful what you begin to ask. I had someone on with me 2 months ago and they say, I never thought I'd go this far. 2 months ago. And they said, will you come and see me next week? Yes. Will you and Candace come and see me? Yes. And he's saying, I'm so scared about myself. I never thought I would go here. I never thought I would do this. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I'm not going to the house of God. As of this week, that man goes publicly denouncing me, calling me a fake Christian, and you in this room. That's a man who 2 months ago was scared over his spiritual condition. Now he can curse us in this room. You know what? You better not play with fire or you get burnt badly. Everything in your house. Look again at Israel. They begin to lust. They're praying to God saying, we want meat in our wilderness. We're not satisfied with the bread, with the manna, with what you're doing miraculously. We want meat. Psalm 106. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tempted God in the desert. And listen this very carefully. And he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. Do you know God could give you the thing you've been desiring? Oh, you say, I'm determined to get this. You better be very careful. You know, Brother Clendenin told me when I was a single man, he said, here's advice for a single man looking for a single girl. He said, it's better not to have what you want than to get what you wish you never had. In other words, he's saying, it's better to be single. Go, oh God, I hate being single. I want to be married. Far better to be like that than to get married and be with someone and say, this is the curse of my life. I wish I'd never seen them. Saints, I'm telling you, I've had guys on the phone and girls on the phone, not here, but weeping tears because of the situation they come into. I'm talking about prayer. I'm trying to help you here to get answered prayer. Do you want a prayers answered according to your lust? Are prayers answered according to godly desire that's being molded by God's word? Thirdly, prayer and God's delays and denials. This is so important what I'm about to say here. Prayer and God's delays and denials. These are the mechanics of prayer, or help you to understand why prayer works in a certain way, why God answers, what he answers, when he answers. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to stir faith. Listen here. Prayer and God's delays first. If you don't know that God has always delayed in answering prayer, you can make a big mistake. You could actually be praying saying, God's not answering. That's not true. He's delaying. And you know what? His delays aren't his denials. God could actually be holding off and be at the door of answering you. And you're just about to make a decision. I've seen this so many times in the church. People have just been, God, if you don't send the right person, I'm gone. And they just waited and God brought the right person. And then I've seen others, they went. And the right person turned up, but they're not there. Right. I've seen it 100 times, 1,000 times. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Prayer and God's delays. Listen, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for a child. They had the promise of God, the covenant of God. They prayed. They had faith in their heart. They had it all. But you know what? God delayed for 25 years. God isn't playing games with them. Is it worth waiting to get God to answer your prayer? Yes! I'm so glad I waited for the right person to marry them. I'm so glad that I could have made so many mistakes. But I'm so glad I waited for God's time. And Jacob had to wrestle all night. Why didn't he answer him at 9 o'clock at night? Oh God, I've been praying for an hour. If you don't answer me by 12, I've got to go to bed. I'm a bit tired here. But he didn't. The Bible says that he wrestled all through the night to the breaking of dawn. Do you know what it is like to pray through the night? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and said, I'm going to pray. I'll walk back and forth. I'll lie in this couch, but I'm going to pray until God gives me an answer. Why didn't God answer him at 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 or 1 or 2 or 3? You see, some people, they leave, say, God isn't going to answer. You've missed it. Oh man, if only you'd known this, the prayer and God's delays. God does delay. And you know what most of it is? To try your heart or to test your heart. You say, sure, God didn't answer me. No, you gave up too soon. God was delaying to go, do you really want this from me? God does test the heart. Daniel prayed for 21 days. The Bible actually says God heard him the first day, answered the first day, sent an angel the first day, but it took 21 days to come. If you stopped at 20, you could miss it. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Or what about Gideon? Remember the young man? He was a nobody from nowhere, and he's just trying to hide. He loves the Lord, and he's trying to get enough food just to survive, and the enemy is all through the land, and there's statues and idols in his daddy's house and his mommy's house, and they're all there. And here he is. He says, I believe in the God of the Bible, and I'm just serving him, and I'm keeping my head down. And an angel appears unto him, shock of shock, an angel of the Lord, and says, thou mighty man of valor. He looked all around and said, who's he speaking of? I'm the only one here. No, you stupid. Thou mighty man of valor. What? He said, if God is with us, if this is God, and you're the God of miracles, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, and the God of Joshua, if you are, why is all this before? Where's all the miracles of our fathers? Do you know no miracles were happening in the nation? And God wasn't delivering the people. And the people of God were defeated. And there was no voice of God. There was no judge in the entire nation. But there was one young man, and he had deep desires in his heart. Do you know what he said? Where's the miracles of God? Where's the miracles of God? Do you know what the angel was saying? You're it. You're it. You're saying, where's the miracles? Where's the past revivals? Where's the church? Where's the great preacher? Where's the great event? Why aren't thousands being saved? Why aren't the sick being raised up? Thou mighty man of valor, Jer. Thou mighty men of women of God. Don't you know God is speaking to you? You're saying, where did that desire come from? Oh God, where are all your miracles? Said, we're just preparing. We're just getting ready. If you just stay there, I'm going to... Why do you think Gideon is there all this time? Discouraged, defeated, annoyed, looking at his dad's statues. Well, let's get started in this thing. Let's start by pulling those statues down in the middle of the night, and we'll get on with this thing. Saints, the nation was delivered. What about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? These siblings, two brothers and a sister. The brother dies. The breadwinner, he died. What do the sisters say? Master, if only you'd got here 4 days ago. We sent a message to you, you didn't come. We hoped you'd come, we are praying you'd come, because we knew you could heal him. Now he's dead, there's nothing you can do. You know what, you're trying to tell God how to answer prayer. You're saying he can heal someone, but he can't raise him from the dead. You said if he got here 2-4 days ago, but now he's got here, nothing can happen. Do you know what? You don't understand God's delays. If God delays, he's got a reason. And listen this. Some delays are very important in your life. Some of you are saying, I want all this now. If God gave it to you now, you'd ruin the whole thing. Some of you, if you got into a relationship now, you'd ruin the whole thing. Let God work in your life a little bit. Joseph, at 17 years old, was a man of faith, a man of prayer, a man of holiness. But you know what? At 17, the call of God is upon him, that he's going to be on the highest throne of the land, and his own mommy and daddy and brothers, all those bigger brothers, are going to bow before him. This is the plan of God. At 17 years old, he's a whippersnapper. He's the youngest of the bunch. There he is, but God's got a call in his life. You know, at 17, he couldn't have managed. If God would have taken him and put him on the throne of Egypt, he couldn't have managed it. Do you know what? He's going to have to wait until he's 40 years old. Not 17, 40 years old. He's going to have to be rejected, thrown in a pit, lied on, hated, falsely accused, sold into captivity, sold in a slave market in Egypt. He's going to have to work his way up in a house, then be lied upon because he rejects committing adultery with his boss's wife. He's then thrown into prison. He is lied on again. Then God forgets about him. At a point where he says, "Oh God, remember me." God says, "Man, you need another 2 years in prison. Let's just leave you there. Turn the heat up just 2 more years. And when you're 40, I'll bring you out in one day, quicker than you can snap your fingers, and you'll sit on that throne." Why did God delay the prayers, all the promises in his life? God had to make him the man for sitting on that throne. Some of you are praying saying, "Why isn't God answering?" Maybe it's a delay. Maybe he's preparing you for the answered prayer. Maybe he's getting you into a place. Maybe it takes some time. Moses, at 40 years old, he knew in his heart that he would deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. Well, he made a mess of it. He rose up, killed one Egyptian, buried him in the sand, ran for his life, feeling like he was a failure. 40 years later, God meets with him again at a burning bush, sends him down to Israel, shakes an entire, the greatest empire of that generation, brings 2 million people out. Since 40 years it took God to get him to that place. David at 17, an old prophet comes to his village, looks at his brother, said, "God's rejected them all." Says, "Go call that shepherd boy." When he comes in, the old prophet says, "This is him." Lays hands on him and says, "God has chosen you to be the king of Israel." A 17-year-old boy. "Man, I can't wait to get on the throne. Man, answered prayer. This is the will of God for my life. This is all I desired." Oh, I forgot to tell you. Between now and the answer of this, first of all, for the next 10 years, you're going to have the king of Israel, Saul, 40 years your senior, chasing you with a spear, hating you, lying upon you, trying to destroy you. You still want the will of God. Saints, I'm telling you, there are delays in God answering prayer. There are actual delays. If you don't understand this by prayer, you're going to miss it. You're praying, saying he's not answering. I'm praying, he's not answering. Be very careful how you judge prayer. You may have to pray not to 10 o'clock at night. You may have to pray to the breaking of day. You may have to pray 25 years, or you may have to pray 21 days. You say, "I'm not interested in that." Then God isn't going to answer your prayers. If you won't wait upon him, why should he answer your prayers? Why should he? But listen, denials. Not only delays, denials. Do you know God can say no? You mommies know what it's like. The kid comes. You're a bad parent. Let me tell you here. If you give your child everything they ask for and want, you're a bad parent. Do you hear me? That 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old, dare I say 10-year-old, dare I say 14-year-old, if you give them all that they desire, that they ask, you're a bad parent. Well, they're moaning, "Me, me, 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 me." Just give them. Just here. Get out of my face. You're a bad parent. You ought to know how to say no, no argument, no discussion, end of subject. If you push this further, there's consequence. End of subject. Do you know God says no to certain prayers? Do you remember in the Old Testament, David had committed adultery, and now Bathsheba has got pregnant, has a child. David repents, he gets forgiven, totally forgiven. He's right with God. But there's consequence. God says, "Your child's going to die. Your child's going to die. Because of your sin, this is going to happen." Do you know what the Bible says? He lay on his face for a week, praying. He threw ashes on his head. He wore cloth on his body. He lay there. He didn't eat anything. He's crying, "Oh God, heal my child. Oh God, don't let my child die." At the end of a week, do you know what God done? God took that child. Did God answer his prayer? No. No. Do you know there's some prayers God will not answer? It wouldn't even be good for you. It wouldn't be good for you. There's consequence to sin. You can beg, you can pray. Do you know when the messenger come, his servant said, "Man, who's going to tell him? If he's like this now that the child's dead, he's going to be in a terrible state." Do you know what? They come in, said, "Master, your child's dead." He got up, he washed, went and had a meal, sat there in his fine clothes, went into the house of God and worship. You know why? He knew how this worked. There's times God will say no to your prayers. If you get proud, arrogant, in a hump, say, "Well, I'm leaving you. You better go now." If you think you can manipulate God, he's not a man.
Right.
He's not your daddy or your mommy or your child or your brother or your friend or someone in the church. He's not that. He is God. You submit to him. The same God who can answer your prayer can say no. The same God who knows what's good for you can answer your prayers. And you know what? If you keep pushing this, he could give you something you can't handle. Remember, Hezekiah got very ill.
Yeah.
Until that point, he was a perfect man. One of the most perfect men in Israel. He was an upright man and a holy man and a righteous man and a man of faith and a man with a great testimony. And when he got ill, do you know what he done in his prayer? He said he looked at the wall. And he began to pray. The prophet of God comes and says, "Set your house in order. You're going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you home." Do you know what he done? He prayed and he says, "Oh God, will you heal me?" And before the prophet got out of the palace, God spoke to him and said, "Go back and say, I'm going to heal him. And I'll give him 15 more years." Do you know he blew it in that 15 years? Up until that point, he's a perfect man. One of the greatest kings of Israel. And in that extra 15 years, God answered his prayer. But do you know what? He didn't know how to handle it. Do you know how to... The things you're praying for. And you go, if God gave me this, it would all be okay. Can you handle answered prayer? Maybe God isn't giving you what you're demanding or asking. Because you'd mess it up. Maybe you'd be in a worse condition if God answered your prayers. Some of you are limping along saying, "But I can't manage. I'm not going to survive." All the time God knows, man, that's keeping them in a place of dependence. They can so easily become proud and arrogant and careless. And if they ever get there, they'd forget me. You know, someone who's got all their money, you're saying, "I don't have enough money to survive. I'm barely making it." Maybe if you had all the money, you wouldn't know what to do with it. We'd never see you. We'd never see you. I can imagine what you'd do with it. God help you, be very careful. What about Christ and his cup in Gethsemane? Three times he prays, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." What did the Father say? No, no, millions will go to hell. Billions will go to hell if you don't go to the cross. You've got to go to the cross. God the Father said to Christ, no. Christ in the garden is saying, "Can this cup pass from me? Do I have to go through this suffering, this shame, this rejection, this hour of darkness, being handed over to evil men? Can this pass from me?" No. No. Saints, you're praying to get out of some things. Maybe it would mean the damnation of certain people. Do you hear what I'm saying? If God answered certain of your prayers, God answered some of my prayers to get out of Limerick. God deliver me. No. No, I won't do it. You've got to stay there. A soul could go to hell because of your neglect. You're thinking of you. I'm thinking of my kingdom. Saints, it's very real what we're dealing with. I'm not going to deal with the last point, but let me finish on this one. In Matthew chapter 20, a mommy comes to Jesus. She's the mommy of James and John, two of the apostles, two of the disciples. They were called the sons of thunder. These two brothers, they were the sons of thunder. You can imagine what they're like. Some of you mommies, you go, "Oh boy, these boys are mine. These girls of mine, you ain't seen nothing yet. Mommy thunder. had two sons of thunder growing up in her home, James and John. They wanted to call fire out of heaven to consume the enemies of God. Imagine raising those two. You're not even in the pot. God help you, you don't know what you're dealing with. But these two sons grew up in this home. And in Matthew chapter 20, Mommy Thunder, that wasn't her real surname, don't quote me on that. Mommy Thunder, I'm sure she was a thunder. Mommy Thunder goes to Jesus. Listen to what she says. Master, grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy kingdom when you come again. When you come in all your glory. Now, Master, I'm asking you very specifically. I'm in prayer. Now, I want you to set them either side of your throne. And when you come in the clouds and I see them, I'll be going, there's my Jimmy at the right hand of glory. At the right hand of Jesus Christ, coming to establish his kingdom on the earth. And that's my boys at the right hand and the left. You know what Jesus says? Mommy, that's not mine to give. I actually can't give those positions. The Father will choose who sits there. But he says, so I can't make any promises to you, and I won't make any promises that I'll answer your prayer. I won't do that, Mommy. Mummies are very persuasive. And you make sure you see my son. God help the pastor who disagrees with that one. Do you realize you guys, your sons and your daughters growing up, I'm already praying, God help me. I'll have to deal with these kids. I'll have to keep these parents happy in these years and yet walk with God. That's going to take all the grace and all the wisdom that heaven can give me. Dealing with this mommy. Christ says, I can't do that. But let me make you a promise. And I'll tell you what prayer I will answer of yours. Can they drink of my cup? Can they be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And you know what? It was a cup of suffering, a baptism of death. And he's looking in the eyes of this mother and saying, you want them to come in glory at my right and left hand? Let me tell you what I'm going to answer and what I'm going to do for you. Do you know what? James is going to die a horrible death. He's going to die as a martyr. That is my will for his life. He's going to have a baptism of death. I am going to answer your prayer, but not like you want it. And you know what? John is going to, as an older man, get dropped in a pot of boiling oil in order to kill him. And he's going to survive it. And then he's going to get thrown on the island of Patmos as an old man. In his old days, he's not being looked after. He is forgotten, thrown, chained. And God comes to him with a revelation from heaven. Don't you try to tell God how to answer prayer. Since there are delays and there are denials, God has the right to say no to you. But this one thing you can be sure of. If God says no to you, it's for your good. And if God answers your prayer and gives you something you never asked for, it's for your good. And if God is delaying answering, it's for your good. Because you know what? With that delay, maybe it's you, not him. There's something in your heart. You're not believing. You're praying, but you're not believing. Oh, you're praying, but you're not obeying the scripture. You're praying, but you're not treating your wife right. You're praying, but you're not watching. I never got to that point. It's in Ephesians 6. Read it for yourself. Watch and pray. Some people get their prayer stolen because they didn't watch. They're praying and they fall asleep and the devil comes in and steals just before God answers. Let's stand here. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Father, we do pray this morning. We feel like we're right in the garage of heaven right at this minute. Father, we know that these are weighty things, eternal things concerning prayer. Why does God answer prayer? Why does he not? Father, I pray, will you open up every heart in this room? Lord God, will you minister to our hearts? We recognize that we're people of flesh, people prone to lust, those who are so easily motivated by our own selfishness. But my God, God, by your own grace and mercy, I'm asking of you this morning, Lord God, make us pliable, make our hearts soft to you, gentle to you, that we bend to your word and to your will and to your commandments, O God. And Lord God, you do promise, Lord God, if we delight ourselves in you, that you will answer our prayers, that you will answer our deep desires. My God, we so love you.